God, we ask your blessing as always on this word. We thank you, Lord, that the word of God cannot be brought forward without blessing and revelation and knowledge coming forward. We thank you, Father, that you're God. We acknowledge you. We acknowledge that we need you. We rely upon you. We depend upon you. Right now, Father, we're depending on the Holy Spirit to minister life to us. We thank you that the word of God should be made alive tonight, that our minds shall be enlightened with the understanding of the word. We thank you, Lord, that you'll reveal to us the things we need to know. Speak through my mouth and think through my mind that I'll be an oracle of God. Minister to every person within the sound of my voice tonight. We're asking you to do it, Holy Spirit, and we thank you for it in advance, for it's your will, and we agree with you in Jesus' name. All agree with that prayer, say, amen. Amen. Then open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to talk about a kind of a theme we've had going for the last couple of months here. I think Helen ministered on it, I think the beginning of December or sometime on victory, first week in December, and I'm going to minister on how to live victoriously. I believe that God wants us to be victors. I know that the Word of God teaches it. We are designated by Him to live above, just get by. To live above, get along street. I heard one minister say we aren't supposed to be living on Grumble Alley and get along street. We're supposed to be victorious in what we do, but there's attitudes and things we need to understand as promises that God has given us that we need to know, that we need to claim, that we need to speak in the midst of all adversity if we're going to go forward. You notice that you constantly have to have sermons on faith, sermons on love, sermons on victory, because it gets tough out there sometimes. You know, you get beat down and you need to be stirred back up, because the Bible says when we turn to the word, we stir ourselves up. We stir ourselves up, and we need to hear these messages to stay motivated, because the people who win are those who stay on the right path long enough to succeed. Most people don't stay on the path long enough. They give up and quit. I mean, so many people, if they'd just gone a little bit further, would have made it. But the devil's always saying, get off that path. Start grumbling, complaining, being with everybody else, forget the word of God, chuck God to the side, just going down the road. When God should be our substance, He should be our existence, we should say like the scripture says, in Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being. When you become that, not just something you say out of your mouth, but when that's evident in your actions, when adversary comes against you or adverse circumstances rise up in your way, your actions determine whether you're in God or not. And so many times the devil just turns the heat up a little bit and people jump all the way out the kitchen. They just run out the kitchen. Well, you know, this don't work. Well, it never worked for you because you never had your heart in it. You got to sell out to God. You have to sell out to the word of God. Swim or sink, I will live or I will die by the word of God. Not, well, you know, I'm going to go so far and see what it's like. I'm going to live. I'm going to die by the word of God because that's what I choose to believe is real. It's my choice. I choose it. I make that decision. And I find that every time I'm victorious and I can stand in the word because the word holds me up. I found the word of God to be true. You'll never find that unless you stand on it. You never find out unless you live by it. Now, let's take a look at several things that we want to be aware of on how to live victorious. I love preaching how-to messages. Because so many times in the old church, they tell us all kind of things and promises all kind of stuff, but never tell you how to get it, what to concentrate on, what to focus, what direction. If you just preached all how-to messages, I'd be happy. How to do it? Just tell me how to do it. I figure out what to do when you're telling me how to do it. But you tell me what I get and don't tell me how to get it. That's not helping me. How to live. I'm going to put a series together. I was looking. I think I got about, I don't know, about 15 how-to messages now. How to live victoriously. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks, the part I want to focus on, but thanks be to God who giveth us what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God, thanks be to God who gives us the victory, not who gave us the victory, who will give us the victory, who constantly gives us the victory. At every battle, God gives you the victory. I like the way people say it. We fight the good fight of faith, and people say, why is it a good fight? It's a good fight because we've already won. We just have to occupy. You know, some people said, I cheated. I went to the end of the book, and I saw we won. I cheated. I went to the end of the book, and everything the devil threw at me, I still made it. If you live by it. The life of victory is a life of maintaining what has already been paid for. Because I'm not doing any of this by my power or my strength, but I do have to maintain. Because Satan can deceive and lie and cheat and try and steal from you if you're not aware of what's yours. It's the same thing as if you, some of you might have an uncle or aunt who died and they may have left you, let's say, $10,000. But you don't know it, so you don't go get it, do you? You have no idea. It's the same thing with the Word of God. If we don't take our effort to go out and maintain the victory by studying the Word, reading the Word, and meditating the Word, we don't know our kingdom rights. We don't know what we've inherited in Christ, so therefore we get deceived. And we cannot be victorious. You cannot, let's say God wants you to have a victory financially. He wants you to be $10,000 richer. You won't be if somebody's left it for you and you don't know. You have no idea it's there. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. Satan is trying to keep you ignorant. Now let's look here at Psalms 140, verse 13. And we'll look at the first step to how to live victoriously. Because all Christians need to live victoriously. Not even the least of the Christians needs to develop to the point where they live above circumstances. And that's financially and maritally and every other way. There's so much pressure on marriages, so many threats on marriages of people breaking up and giving up. And we're talking about the children of God. You know, I have challenges in my marriage from time to time. You have them in your marriage from time to time. You have them in your relationships from time to time. But some people stay and some people give up. It's a matter of what you do. I believe victory belongs to everybody. I hate to see the Christian divorce marriage being as high as it is. I just hate to see it. I was reading through a Charisma magazine and some of these prominent ministers, well-known, and I understand why they do it because I understand the pressure. And there's some times I'd like to jump and run too. But you stay with it and you make it work and you walk in love. And you do what you need to do, just like Helen walks in love with me. But people just give up and say, I can't make it, I can't do it. Well, you ought to go sit down and get out the ministry on top of it. Because if you can't do it, you can't teach nobody else how to do it, can you? If you're not willing to fight the good fight of faith, then don't be asking anybody else to fight it. You see what I'm saying? There's a challenge. There's a battle. Jesus didn't say there aren't any battles. He just said, I promise you the victory. He didn't say, I promise you there wouldn't be no battles. There's a lot of struggles. There's a lot of putting under the flesh. Anything, I told you at the beginning of the year, anything you're going to do this year that's going to be positive is going to be challenged. You might as well just expect that. That's a given. Satan's not going to let anybody walk in blessing without him standing against him, trying to prevent him. So if you get used to the fact that life is a battle, that life is a challenge, instead of getting up, turning back, running away from things, but you say, I'm going to be victorious because the victory belongs to me. I just have to maintain enough force in a positive direction till I knock that wall down. But people back up. People back up. I'm tired. I'm busy. I'm this. I'm the other. People back up. If you back away, what man puts his hand to the plow and turns back and goes back the other way is worthy of God. There is a press that must consistently be applied for you to be victorious. It's kind of like somebody, you ever know anybody? Let's say, for example, you're a fashion model. You want to be a fashion model. You believe God called you to be a fashion model. You start in a career. You work for 5, 6, 7 years. You finally catch on. You go for about a month. You're catching on. You go a year. You're real hot right at the peak. And you say, I want to take a year vacation. You know what? When you come back, you'll be gone. Same thing with the music industry. Same thing with business. People start business and sometimes you have to put in 4 or 5 years for that business takes off. And that's why most people don't succeed in business when God intended for them to succeed. They don't have the stick-to-itiveness to stay with it. They don't have the persistence. They give up. They quit. They turn around. Sometimes God has a gem out there for somebody to marry, but they can't wait that long. They got to have this one that came by now. Sometimes you don't want that one. That contributes to the divorce rate, getting those you didn't really want. Victorious living is going to require certain things. It's going to require standing in the presence of God. Let's look here in Psalms 140, verse 13. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell where? In the presence of God. Now, in the presence of God, of course, is a state in which you can pray. You can pray and you can come into the presence of God. You can enter his gates with thanksgiving. You can enter courts with praise, go into the Holy of Holies with singing. But also there's a state that you can stay in that's in the presence of God. You live in the Word. In it you abide, in it you move, in it you stay, in it you respond. You're full of it. It's overflowing out of you. You live by and obey it on a consistent basis. That will also have you in the presence of God. Even being around other believers. God said with two or more joined together, he's there in the midst. You know, and because he's in the midst, you can touch and agree on things. But he said, where two or more are joined together, there he is in the midst. He's in the midst of you. It says that God inhabits the praises of his people. When we praise him, he's there in his midst. I believe he multiplies the measure of his presence when you're in praise. But I believe the presence of the Lord is with me always. Lo, he's with me always, even unto the ends of the earth. And he's with you. But it says sin separates us from God. So when we walk outside of the Word of God, we then at that point separate ourselves from God. We can't maintain a victory if we stay too much time out of the will of God. You know, you have to be in to maintain the victory, because the victory is found in His presence. How to live victorious is you have to be in the presence of God. Many Christians fail to live in God's presence because other activities, other things, you don't understand the pressure of the job, the pressure of the kids, the pressure of the wife, the pressure of this, that, and the other. Cares of this world do choke out the word of God, don't they? Let's take a look at that. Let's turn to Mark 13:22. If I could just get you to see that to win this year, next year, and from now on, is going to take deciding what's important, what's good, what's a blessing, what's your true calling, your true purpose, pointing yourself towards that and pressing and keeping the pressure on until you get there. Not drawing back, not turning back, not taking vacation from it, not skipping and jumping around, but just pressing. Whatever the devil says in one ear, you keep pressing. Whatever he's promises he's going to do to you, if you keep pressing, you keep pressing anyway because he can't do it. Whatever. If God called you to start a business, don't give up. Press. If you know God called you to do it, if God told you to, you and this guy to get married, press in. Make it work. Oh, but it's not comfortable. It doesn't matter. The devil's tell you it's not going to change. It's going to change if you keep pressing in a positive direction. And very often when the problem comes, people don't get help to press. They just give up to press. I'm tired. Too hard for me. Can't do that. You know how many people sing that song? And I mean, you start singing those blues like that, you will never get anywhere, because every time you withdraw, you have to start over. Some people have done that in ministry. They'll start off in ministry, go so far in ministry. It's hard. It's work. And then they withdraw. And when they come back, you can't start right back up. Just like the supermodel. You got to go back to the beginning. You got to go back and start over again. I remember we were on TV when Channel 61 had us come and speak. And then he was saying that there were a lot of pastors he knew of at that time who were talking about giving up ministry. I don't know if they were friends of him or what. He said, you need to speak. What would you say to some of these pastors and some of these individuals who are giving up and they're turning back? And I said, don't quit. You know, simple as that. Don't quit, because nobody ever said it would be easy, but they said you will win if you keep pressing. And it takes somebody who believes in God and has strength and knows who they are in Christ to know that I'm not worried about a little bit of pressing, as long as I know my pressing is not in vain. If I keep pressing, I will succeed. If I keep the pressure against the devil going this way in my life, and whatever the Lord called me to do, whether it's towards being a pastor, or if he called me a businessman, or if he called me a good wife, or to be a good husband, or to be a good parent, I have to keep the pressure on all those fronts, because those have higher priorities than pressing super hard on the job. If the job is not directly the will of God, by all means, apply effort or you're going to be fired. You know what I mean? You will be fired. Understand what I'm saying? But let's get things in priority, because so often when the cares of the world come, then they choke out the will of God. The will of God and the word of God are interchangeable because they're the same. And what we allow to happen is when heat gets turned up, we back off the things of God, because we got to go spend a little more time on the cares of this world. And if you spend all the time tending the cares of the world, it ain't going to make it no better. It's not going to bring you any more victory. It's not going to bring you any more victory. Because the devil will get into all that, and you think he'll leave you alone because now you're tending the cares of the world? Take care of your business by all means, but don't ever let him make you draw back. I talked about time when things were tight financially for Helen and myself. And, you know, we were talking about, cutting back on the missionaries. And I said, no, we're not going to cut back on the missionaries, honey. We're going to keep giving to missionaries. Yeah, but we could do something with this money. Well, the missionaries could do something with that, too. And we believe God told us to put that out there towards that. We believe God told us to do that. So let's just keep doing it. We don't have to do it, but we choose to do it. We choose to tell the devil this is what the word of God says. The word of God says you're blessed if you promote the gospel. We can't go, but we can sing it. So we'll keep sending. You see what I'm saying? You press in anyway. Sometimes it's uncomfortable when you press, but pressure itself replies effort. You know, you notice how they have all these different exercise commercials on TV, particularly right after the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And everybody's making these New Year's lies about going to lose 100 pounds and all this kind of stuff. And the ideal is to make you think it doesn't require work to run this machine. This machine works by itself. And have you ever heard of the term, in order to exercise, you have to have progressive resistance? And it's the resistance folks don't like. And if it's going to work at all, there will be resistance. And where there's resistance at, in order to resist it, you have to put what? Pressure. You have to put pressure. There's no exercise equipment out there that's going to work that's not going to hurt. I didn't say damage, but I said hurt. There ain't none of them that's going to work that's not going to hurt. That's just the way it is. Through pain, there's gain. You know, through the resistance, through the pressure. And if there's through pain, there's gain in the natural, I might be able to extrapolate something and understand a spiritual principle from something natural. That I can achieve the things of God through a certain amount of pressure, through a certain amount of resisting the devil. I don't have to resist somebody who's not coming against me. I don't have to resist anybody. The Bible says that if I submit myself to God and resist the devil, he'll flee. If God said it, I must need to do it. Only if I want to be victorious and live above and be the head, not the tail, above, not beneath. All those promises are great, but all of them have conditions. And the condition is, if you submit yourself to God and if you resist Satan, then you will flee. I mean, even like things like healing school. Let's say you're battling sickness and you're home on First Friday. Well, you're not resisting unless you're at home doing something related to that. You'd be better off coming to church, hearing the word, so you can get a resistance so that you can build up more towards it. But you know, Satan will tell you, you worked hard this week. You're tired. You went to church already once this week. Now, I don't mind. You do whatever you want to do because it's not affecting me. But the thing is it may be affecting you. You have to consider what is really, what decisions of the decisions I make to be a victor, how is what I'm about to decide right now going to affect my victory in Christ? How is that going to keep the pressure on the devil? How is that going to keep going forward? It's like people to start school and go a few years and then quit when they really wanted to go, but they just got tired of studying. You really wanted the degree. You really wanted it bad, but you just, it ain't worth it. It's too hard. Well, it's law school, medical school and stuff like that. That stuff is challenging. It's very challenging. You know, I tell you about my cousin Tracy. She used to call and say, oh, this stuff is kicking my butt. It's rough. It's challenging. Challenging financially. Challenging working at it. But she stayed with it. Now she's Dr. Smith. Her sister did the same thing. Ivy, oh, my God. She sat right over here on the 24th of last year when my family was here. Oh, no, I can't do this. This is too much. And the family would tell her, you can make it. You're going to. She had to keep pressing semester after semester. And, you know, you go to school 4 years. That's enough. Then they send you some more years. Then they send you some more years after that. Boy, and it ain't just because you like school that you go. It's because you have a dream, you have a vision, and you keep pressing. But just an example, as anybody presses and they get to the other side, it works for everybody. Consistent effort in a positive direction will always reap results. Consistent effort in a positive direction will always reap results. So it's a matter of, are you going in the right direction? A direction that's positive. And are you pressing long enough to move the wall? Because you have all within you by God to succeed at anything that God's called you to do, anything that your heart is directed towards by God. Nobody can stop you, but people stop themselves by giving up, by quitting. Stay in the presence of God. Let's look at Matthew 13:22. Let's read that. I was talking about those cares. Matthew 13:22. Don't let those cares come in because, oh, I've seen it happen so much. I've seen it happen in Bible school. Talk to people the first year before school starts and you're in there with them and woo, they're excited. Oh, glory to God. And the skies open up and the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice. And I was like, and this and that happened and supernaturally, I got the money over here and I didn't have it and supernaturally. And after 3 months, what happened? I'm going back home. Well, I mean, good grief. Jesus parted the sky for you to get here, moved financial miracles everywhere. And because you got there and had to keep pressing, you just give up and go back. I believe that many of those people who did that were called. I believe God called them. They had a purpose. They had a plan in their life. I believe God supernaturally did things. But when God did all his part, then it comes down to you have a part to play. In your own victory and your own success, you have a part to play. And that's where people give up at. You mean tell me I got to do something? That's why people fill up churches when they preach in such a way that they don't have nothing to do. Just let's keep waiting. The Lord's going to work it out. Let's just keep waiting. God's made a way. God made a way, but he's not going to put you in a wheelchair and roll you that way. You're going to get him walk and work that way. He's made the way, but you're going to have to work all the way to get there. But he promises you you'll get there if you do it. But you can't quit along the way. This is a principle of God. I mean, I'll give you a scripture to help you realize it. Be not weary in well-doing. For if you faint not, you shall reap. Be not weary in well-doing. Why do you think they put that? I think that's in Galatians 6, I believe it is, somewhere around in there. Why do you think they put that in there? Be not weary in well-doing. Why do you think Paul said that to people nearly 2,000 years ago? Because they just like us. Sometimes we get tired of doing right. I know it's right, but I'm tired of doing it. So we get weary. It's not that we don't know what right is. Just get tired of doing it. It's the day-to-day grind, week-to-week grind. It's always the same. Just do this, just do that. But you know what? That's what it takes to get to the other side. All I do is go to school and have to do my homework and then go to work and then go to school and have to do my homework. Yeah, but that won't be forever. That's just till you get that piece of paper. One person, one of the financial advisors we had, Charles Givens, he said, if you would do for just a small period of time, maybe 4 years, 5 years of your life, what other people would never do, you will have for the rest of your life what those people would never have. If you would just do for a small part of your life, you just do for a small part of your life what most people would never do all of their life, you will have all the rest of your life what most people would never have all their life. See, that's the principle. You got to go through something to get to something, but then you can have that forever on. How many people, life is so much harder than it could have been. Maybe if they'd I'm talking about people want to. Like I said, college is not for everybody. I believe education is for everybody. It's mandatory if you can be an intelligent person. But college not for everybody. But let's say you wanted to go to college. Or let's skip this. Very few people want to go to college. They want what a college degree brings. Now, let's say you want what a college degree brings, but you're afraid to go to college. That's it. It's never going to happen. And you could have pressed through and been out of that by now. My motto is, if anybody made it, I can make it if that's what I want to do. If that's what I want to do. If anybody made it, I can make it. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And very few people will admit, I'm dumb and stupid. That's why I can't do it. They might say I didn't get good grades, or, oh, college is too hard, or they just use it to weed people out and all this kind of mess and all kind of excuses. But the thing is, if you want what's on the other side of degree, you are well able to take the land. Or you can sit around complaining about giants in there. The teachers are trying to flunk the people, and you know they make it hard, and they make it this, and they make it that. I said, of course there's opposition. Did you think there wouldn't be? Whatever you're going to do in life is worth doing. Do you think there's not going to be opposition? I mean, all of us in this room, except for some of the kids, are old enough, no better than that, don't we? If it's worth having, it's worth fighting for. It's going to be some opposition. If you want to live in the great things of God, if you want to experience the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, blessed coming in, blessed going out, you got your part to play, and somebody's out there playing a part against you, so you don't play it, but they can't stop you if you press in. Whatever you want. To me, it's such a big waste for somebody to be given a dream by God, and they're afraid to fulfill it because it's going to be hard. So what if it's hard? It's only going to be hard for a little while, just for a season. The Bible says even Satan coming for a season and leaves you alone. Because if you keep pressing, he's going to have to let go. Because God has promised you the victory. I thank God that he's promised us the victory in Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not talking about after you die. He's talking about in this life. And see, you got to thank God that he gives you the victory, because that's your motivation to press on to obtain the victory if you want to live a victorious life. I'd like to see everybody healthy, happy, and infecting everybody around them with it as possible. But what happens is what we're about to look at here in just a moment are those cares of the world choke out us going forward. You don't understand, the devil's been really coming hard against me, and I can't do that. Some of you ought to blow your mind if I said the devil's been coming against me this week. I'm taking next month off. You think I lost my mind, wouldn't you? Do you think he leaves me alone because I'm the pastor? I told you when I go out the door, he jumps in the car. Don't wait for me. I got to go home and ride your back too. But you know what? I reached a long time ago. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant because you can do whatever you want to do. I'm going to win anyway. I expect you to hinder. I expect you to delay. But I want you to know also I'm going to prosper anyway. So I just keep going on and keep going on and keep going on. And that's the way you break down strongholds. That's where you break through walls. Is you keep pressing. If you slip and fall, you get up and you press. You are never a failure till you quit getting back up. Just because you fail does not make you a failure no more, and just because you sin makes you a sinner. But when you practice failure as a lifestyle, you're going to lay there on the ground and mope and complain, and I can't do it, and give up your dream, and give up your vision, and give up being anybody, or give up exceeding, give up excelling, make excuses why you couldn't. Well, my kids would do it, I couldn't do it. And you start all this crazy stuff. You never make it like that.
You never make it like that. You got to say, I can, I will, I'm more than able to possess the land. I'm going to do it because I have everything I need. I have the word of God. I have motivation. I meditate the word. And if I got to go, just me and God alone, we're going. And the devil, you can't stop me. I mean, you have to get a revelation of that. The devil cannot stop you. A lot of people don't believe that. They don't believe it. He can't stop you. He can, if you don't think right, he'll have you thinking thoughts where you will stop you. But he can't stop you. All he can do is play games with how you perceive things. I perceive that as being impossible for me. And it's that mental wall, just like that string around the elephant's ankle, that stops people from going forward. It's the mental wall. They've defeated themselves. God says, no, my children have been getting everything they need to be the head, not the tail. I mean, there's information everywhere. I've said it before. I'm not saying anything new. I just want to stir you up again. It's everywhere. I mean, it's in abundance everywhere. I mean, there a lot of your answers are in the bookstore right there. A lot of people's answers are in asking another church member right here in the church. But we don't ask. We don't seek out. Seeking, you should find. Instead, we make excuses. We talk about all the cares. It's the man that's stopping me. The man isn't as big as the devil. So if the devil can't stop you, the man can't stop you, whoever the man is. Still, you're stopping you. You're stopping yourself. So if you don't want to be stopped, you make a decision. Get clearly. A lot of people don't take time to think about what they really want. Stop and think about what's in your heart to do. What is it you want to do? And decide in your mind, no matter what, I'm going to do it. And there's some price to pay. I know that. But you know what? I'll pay the price and I will get the reward. Yeah, but it may be hard. It doesn't matter. I'll pay the price and I'll get the reward. And you have such a sense of accomplishment as you fight battle after battle after battle after battle until you win the war. See, but you got to have a plan. You've got to see where you're going. Where are you going to? And that's a big thing. Zig Ziglar says most people are just wandering generalities. But he said you need to learn to be a meaningful specific instead of a wandering generality. What is your specific purpose? Find out what it is you're going to do. You might not know where you're called to ministry or not, but there may be some things in your heart. You might be just somebody who said, maybe the little boy who just used to always tell everybody, I'm going to be a fireman when I grow up. And just kind of forgot about that. But in his heart, he wouldn't mind being a fireman. But he's talked himself into it's too late or it's too this, that, or the other. Well, there's something you can do related to that. If you're already 99 years old and can't carry a fire hose, maybe you can't be a fireman. But there's probably something else you can do. Go down and volunteer at the fire station or something. Go help some young person become a fireman. But there's something else you can do if you don't give up so quick. Let's look here just a little bit. Look at that verse. I keep dropping the page. Matthew what? What, 22? Mark 13? I said both of them. Well, let's go to Matthew 13:22. Matt, let's start there. Matthew 13:22. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to confuse you. Matthew 13:22. Matthew. Then we go to Mark. We're going to go there too. I probably got ahead of myself. Sorry about that. Matthew 13:22. Now let's show you this point here that Jesus talked about. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns. And they're talking about the sower and the seed. The parable of, he talked about that the seed is the word of God and the word of God is cast out there. And he talked about people are different types of soil. The word of God would fall in one person and they're like stony ground. And word of God fall in another person, they're fertile ground. Fall in another person, it's amongst rocks. And he talked about the different characteristics. But he said something about this person here. Says he also that received seed among the thorns. Talk about thorny ground. The word of God is sown out there into somebody who's thorny ground. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes what? Unfruitful. Now, the thorny ground, you know, you got some soil there, but it's in the midst of a lot of other stuff. So if somebody has all these other things they have in a higher priority than their relationship with God, then they've set up all these thorns in the middle of where the word of God has to come. So when the word of God comes, if it's in the middle where you've got my promotion on job is of highest priority. What people think of me, my family is of the highest priority. I've got to get to the level of CEO. That's high priority. I've got to make more money than my brother and sister or mother and somebody makes. I've got to do better than next generation. I've got to have enough money that I can go back and drive a Cadillac at my reunion. All these other things that we set up as being a higher priority than the word of God and growing and developing the things of God and being a minister to other people, touching their lives and helping other people miss hell and make it to heaven. Everything else we put up as a priority above that. being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Having given your life to Jesus Christ, when you got a whole lot of other stuff that's a higher priority than that, then you're thorny ground. And when the word of God comes, those other cares of this world, what people think about me, how I dress, what I have, those other cares and the deceitfulness of riches, the riches will promise you happiness. If I have more money, I will be happier. It promises you that. It doesn't deliver that, but it promises that. If that were true in and of itself, the richest person on the planet would be the happiest person on the planet. And there's a whole lot of people in Hollywood got a whole lot of money more than me, and they can't even stay married to one person. I mean, you got individuals like Elizabeth Taylor been married and divorced 6 times. That is not the sign of a happy person. The person with the most money is the happiest if money equated to happiness, but that's what he means. A lot of people, even though if I ask the question, they'll say, no, it doesn't mean that. Look at the way they live their life. Do almost anything for another dollar. I give you a $4,000 a year raise, but you got to move over here. Don't even know if there's a good church over there. Just, yeah, I'm taking my raise. I'm going up. The Lord has blessed me. And then you go take you off somewhere in the desert where you don't have a good church to go to. Your kids get up and you lose your kids. They run off somewhere because they didn't have the word of God in a foundation. Run off, end up shot out there. Anything could happen. But money said it'd be better. You can't serve God and mammon too. But money said it'd be better. That's what it means. That's the lie that money tells people. If I just had more money, everything would be. My wife would stay with me if I just had more money. That's the lie you think. My life would be fine if I marry a brother with some money. That's what you think. There's brothers with money beating sisters up and down the wall every night. And you ask that sister some money, she say, I'll give you some money to get me out of here. Now you think I'm lying. Now I know that there are women and men who are still caught on the deceitfulness of riches, and they really do believe if they had more money, it'd be okay. And they might leave or run off because they need more money. So I do understand in their case, they think they need more money, but see, they're just deceived too. That's what Jesus is saying. But a person who's caught off on their thorny ground, he also to receive seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness. It's funny, the cares of this world. And Jesus said, take care for nothing. Cast all your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. So that's already, some scripture would be carrying around all these cares about what other folks think. Who cares what they think? Do you? Do you care what they think? And like I said, answer that question with your mouth closed. Show God your life and see if you care what other people think. I mean, people just move. It's just not that important. I feel like I'm free. It's not that I'm concerned. I want people to think well of me, but I'm not that moved by it. You know what I mean? And I mean, and people think I'm coarse and I'm callous and I don't care. That's what Helen says sometimes. You just don't care. I said, well, I'm not going to be all upset about you being upset about it. If that's what you mean. I'm not going to be that upset about it. And that might be something early on we were dating. You know how some of you ladies are. You try and work a guy and play the little pouty some of the time. She used to do that when we first started dating. And when we were and kind of feel bad about it. I said, well, I'm not going to feel bad about you feeling bad. I'm sorry, but if I've done all I know to do, I'm going to go on and be happy. And that would infuriate her. That's why. And I wasn't doing it intentionally. I wasn't trying to heat hot coals on her head or nothing. But I just, you know, I wasn't going to carry all that. And she's learned that too, and she doesn't care that. And I said, it ain't me trying to be nobody special. The word of God says I care for nothing. If it's something you care, well, I care about it up to the point of what can I do about it? Once I can, if you decided you're going to be happy, upset, or whatever, and I can't do nothing else about it, I'm going to be happy. And is everybody being unhappy? You see what I mean? But people call you a mean person. But some, I mean, even when it comes, I think, let's say, for example, I'm a minister. And occasionally I have to preach funerals and do different things. Suppose I let the care and the sorrow overtake me. I can't deal with the funeral, can I? That's not that I don't have concern. I have concern and I may feel very deeply, but I can't be moved by everything that goes on like that. And that doesn't make you insensitive or stone or nothing else. Just means you understand what's going on, what the proportion of things are, and you don't take things out of emotional balance. It's like the doctor who's cutting you open saying, oh, look at all this blood. I'm like, get me another doctor, please. This guy, I need somebody calm. I need somebody who's not moved by the blood that's oozing out because I need them to finish doing to close this up. You know, people thought Paul was unsympathetic. People thought Jesus was unsympathetic. But we all know Jesus was a perfect example of love. But there's times where he was hitting folks, you know, and they're beating folks out the temple. But you lost your cool, didn't you, Jesus? The Bible said he took and started popping the whip and people were running out of the temple. I mean, he didn't have no gun. He didn't have a Uzi. He was beating. And you talk about a place where money was on the table and he beating people out with their money. You go in the middle of a drug deal trying to beat somebody money, talk about what the Lord said. You better have the Lord behind you because they'll knock you out. You're not going to run them out there with a whip. And these were money changers dealing with money. And he said, my father's house, not den of thieves. And I don't think he was using no supernatural mojo on them to make them get out of there. He came in there and they know we better leave him alone. By the way, he was in there whipping folks. It's time to get on up out of here. But it don't sound like he moved in love. No, that was perfect love. They said Jesus is the personification of love. So if I come in here with a whip and start beating all the goats out from amongst the sheep, I'd just be spiritual, wouldn't it? There's one at the door. Pow! Just get out of here. I'd be real spiritual, wouldn't I? No, see, we misunderstand things. We misunderstand things. Money can be deceptive. Money is nothing but a tool. Don't attach any emotion to it or it will deceive you. Do not make it a God, because if you attach emotion to it, we talk about that on Sunday in the tithing thing, about people emotionally attached to money. And why they have such a hard time giving or sowing or anything like that, because they're mostly attached to it. It's their God. I need money to make me feel secure. Funny, some people just need Jesus to be secure. Other folks need a certain amount of money in a bank account to feel secure. And I'm not saying live poor or broke. I'm just saying you have it in there because of wisdom, not because of the way it makes you feel. Detach your feelings from it. It's just a thing. It's just a thing. I'll give up and move to another city where there's no church for money. But I might not go to church on a regular basis for God. What kind of sense does that make? That's why I said God's listening to us with his ears plugged. He's listening to everything we say with his ears plugged. Now, if you don't believe it, what does he say? What does he say when he said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves? It means you be a doer of it because he's watching your actions. He's watching your actions, not just listening to your mouth. He's watching your actions. It's not what you say, because he says so many times, many people have said, Lord, Lord, but they'll find their place in the pit of hell. But yet they called me Lord. But Lord, we called you Lord. You know we called you Lord. Doesn't matter. You didn't let me be Lord in your life. You were Lord in your life. Did exactly what you want to do when you want to do it. And it hinders your victory. It hinders victory. I don't tell anybody specifically what to do other than the word of God. But as you read the word of God, God would direct to you a path, because he says he guides the footsteps of the righteous. He will guide you to a path that will cause you to be abundantly blessed. But he's going to have you take some steps. I was talking to somebody the other day and I said, now you believe God for direction and guidance is going to come, but he's going to ask you to do some things that's going to cause you to put the flesh under. Not going to make you put the flesh under, but it's going to ask you to put the flesh under. And if you do those things, you go to the next level. You receive the reward. And if you don't, you back and you take your hand away from the plow and go back and, okay, that's just going to have a pity party. Oh, it's me. I just don't do nothing right. I just can't make, I don't know what's going on. Well, the devil wins again and you lose again. But if you just say, hey, I may have missed it, but I'm going to get back up and go at it again. I missed it, I'm going to get back up and go at it again. And you keep going at it. You keep reading. You keep studying. You keep developing. You keep walking in all the light that you have. Do like the Lord said to us at the beginning of the year, a year of wisdom. Walk in the revelation of the light that you already have. There's no need to pray for any new revelation if you're not doing something with the old revelation you got. Revelation should never be old because it should be current. That's something I've got. I've got the victory in that area in my life. The Lord has revealed something to me. I'm working on that. I've got the victory because then I go on. You know, you can't say, I don't like addition. Let's go straight to calculus. Give me some calculus, Lord. I don't like addition. You got to get the prerequisite to be able to understand the other one. But so often we say, well, you know, Lord, give me some more revelation. God's saying, you know, you need to go back to the basic foundations, the things I told you last year. Pick that back up. Sometimes the Lord told me some things and I went years and just kept putting them off and putting them off. And you know how it is. Before you know it, it's been years. So, man, and the Lord brings you to your remembrance, or you're at a meeting somewhere where you're hearing, you're in the presence of God so strong, and you may even catch yourself saying, Lord, give me more revelation. And he'll say, what about such and such? He said that to me, and I went like, ooh, well, I guess I could do that. And I remember getting out my notepad right now, do such and such. And that was something he told me to do several years ago. And I didn't do it. And I need to go back and do it. Well, why are you reminding me of this 2 years later? Why can't you give me some new revelation? Because I'm not walking in the light of the revelation I have. There's no need to cast in pearls before swine. If you're going to be a fool with the wisdom he gives me, why would he give me any more? You can't pick and choose what you want. If God is leading, you just follow where he guides. Because he knows the shortest path to get you to what? Victory. He knows the shortest path to get you to being an overcomer. And I mean, overcomer is not a dollar figure. When I reach this amount, I'm an overcomer. You may never have millions of dollars, but you'll know when you reach the point that I know that I'm well-pleasing to the Lord. And I'm right where God wants me to be. And when you get to that point, you have confidence. You have satisfaction. And you'll still have challenges, but you know you have the grace to go through every one of them. And that's when you become a victor. Because a victor is not somebody who doesn't ever have any more battles. I mean, once the army wins one victory, one battle, the battle does not win the war. They won a battle, but it's still going on, but yet they're victorious there, but they keep pressing to the battle has been won. To the day when Jesus says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, and then you will be totally victorious, but you have to fight the good fight of faith all along the way. And one thing I want to get over to you to be victorious is you have to stay in the presence of God by keeping your hand to the plow. Whatever it is, if you forgot what it was, you don't remember what God wants you to do or where you're supposed to go or the last thing he told you, get quiet before God. Some of you, if you take a vacation day, take a vacation day and just get quiet. I mean, sometimes when you first get quiet before the Lord, you'll be surprised how busy your mind is. Every thought you have for the last 3 years will fly through your head when you're trying to just get quiet. Sometimes it takes 4 hours. Just get up in the morning, get out of bed, or you're going to fall back to sleep and just get up and go somewhere. I took the whole day off. Ain't no kids, ain't nobody. And just get quiet. And you just stay there and just before God. Well, what do you do? I don't know what to do. Your stomach's going to say, let's go eat. No, and then we ain't eating right now. We ate this morning. You're even like, what? You're supposed to be balancing your checkbook. No, I ain't trying to balance your checkbook. All kind of thoughts going to come to your mind. And you got to stay there until you get quiet. If you have to read the word a little bit, if you have to sing praise to God, do that. But you do whatever you need to do as long as you need to get quiet. And when you get quiet, then you got to live in that peace. Because you'll come to the point. I mean, first time I did, it took maybe 4 or 5 hours. I did this. I took the day off. I think I was in Bible school then. That was before I started working. And then so I had a lot of time. And then it took me a good while. I think it was a Saturday morning. It took me a good while. And maybe after 3, 4, 5 hours or something, all of a sudden it got to a point where my mind had thought all it was going to think. And I was just sitting there. And then I began to talk to the Lord and he began to speak to me about some things. Clear as day, clear as day. And I noticed the rest of that day, I just had a peace. The next day, I just had a peace. The next day, I had a peace. And I could tell in the future days, like if somebody said something to kind of irk you or somebody did something, you can tell when that peace is about to go. But I had to think the word again and get back at peace. You can't keep shoving things on top of the cares of the world you've already got. You got to give up some of those cares, find out what's real, and say, this is what's important. Now, Lord, guide me. And you go whatever way he says go and take whatever steps he says take, and then stay in the peace that you find in the presence of God, and you'll come into the place of victory. You'll walk right into that place of victory. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for the word. We thank you, Father, for encouraging us. We thank you for stirring us up on the inside, Father. We thank you that you're teaching us to walk in the victory that the word has promised us. Father God, I pray that you'll minister to every person today, Lord, that you will say to them more than what was said, Father. As they think about today's message, as people listen to this tape, Father, I pray that new revelation will come to people, Lord. I thank you that your rededication and recommitments that come from their hearts are received, Father. I thank you that everyone's given a new start, Father, as we set time aside to get quiet before you, Father, on a Saturday morning or a morning or an evening, Father. Help us to get quiet, Father. Help us to cast every care over on you because knowing you care for us, Father. Help us to roll it over and to be in peace so that we can hear your small, still voice, Lord. Help us to hear, Father. Guide us into your presence. In Jesus' name we pray.